presentation. Welcome to the presentation of Recordati. As you know, we shall be presenting the results which were approved this morning by the Board of Directors for the first quarter of 2010, and thereafter we shall give you an update of our business plan 2010-2012. I have here with me the CFO of the company, and he can start with the presentation of the quarterly results. Good morning to you all. Well, I have to say that the results of the first quarter 2010 are, in our opinion, very satisfactory, because we are speaking of the first quarter 2010, and we are speaking about the first quarter during which we had the expiry of the Lercanidipine patent. This was the first time, but the results are growing. Revenues are growing by 1.2% in the period, and even better, we performed as far as profitability is concerned. Operating income goes up by 6%, 43.1 million euros, and net income 30 million, growing 8.5%. This does not mean that we have to or we can multiply these results by four. The effect of the patent of Lercanidipine can turn out to be even more important going forward in the next few quarters. But this is a starting point that we believe are favorable. The results of the first quarter of the year are not only interesting financially speaking, but they're also interesting in terms of our products and the pipeline of our company. In January, we obtained the approval by the European Agency for the marketing of Silodosine in Europe. We have already identified two brands for Silodosine. Urorec will be the Recordati brand for its branches, and Siladix is the branded name that we shall use for products sold through co-marketing agreements. In March, we had the approval by the FDA of Carbaglu. This is an orphan drug which is managed by Orphan Europe, and the drug has been approved in the United States. And this might allow us to take into consideration getting into the USA market with this orphan drug. And then we have a number of licensing out agreements. For instance, we licensed out Zanidip in China. This is a very interesting signal, which means that Lercanidipine is not at the end of its life. It will have to compete with generic drugs on certain markets like Europe, but it still has some room for growth in other markets like the emerging markets. And it is very important from this point of view to be able to start marketing this product, Zanidip, in China. Moreover, we have negotiating some licensing out agreements for the products we have in the pipeline. For pitavastatin, for instance, we signed an agreement with Esteva, a major major Spanish company, to be able to launch pitavastatin in Spain. So the first quarter was very interesting, both in terms of results, in terms of product development and product pipeline. Let me now move on to give you the highlights of the company. As we said, pharmaceutical products are going up by 1.6%. Pharmaceutical chemicals are going down by 9.5% overall. Pharmaceutical chemicals is a business which is to the service of pharmaceuticals. As far as the individual country results are concerned, as you can see on the slide, we have included both Recordati traditional products and also orphan products, which have become Recordati products themselves. And in many cases, the good results obtained with our orphan products has made up for the slowdown of traditional products. In Italy, we are growing, as you can see. In France, the situation is due to the loss of patent of lercanidipine. In Germany, we are growing. In Portugal, we launched a policy whereby we are reorganizing the distribution channels, and we're starting doing so in Q4 of 2009. The organization now has been completed. In Spain, well, the market in Spain is somewhat weak, and in the UK, we are affected by the loss of the patent on lercanidipine, which was a major product in that market. In the UK, we are reorganizing our business. We are almost closing down our traditional product branch, and we're focusing on orphan products mainly. In other countries, in other European countries, we're growing. We're also growing in other emerging countries like Russia, Turkey, and other Central and Eastern European countries. And then other international sales, that is sales of lercanidipine outside of Europe, where you can see we are growing by 12.8%. So a very positive snapshot. It doesn't really reflect what is going on with lercanidipine, but it is a good way to show what we're doing with our products. Next slide, you can see the geographical breakdown of the pharmaceutical revenue. You can see that Italy accounts for 30.9%, and here you can see that we have good positions in some other countries, and this shows the strength of our company to attract licensees. Now, we have quite a well-balanced presence in the major European countries. Now we can move on with the presentation. And on this slide, you can see our product portfolio. And it is interesting to see here that Zanidip is gradually decreasing its share of the revenue. Last year, it was around 30% in the first quarter of 2010, while it is going down to 23.8%. As far as lercanidipine generic product, well, it is going as we expected. In some countries, we have had the advent of generic products, and so we have competition. In some other countries, we do not have the economic and financial conditions for generics to get massively onto the market. In Italy, we have generic drugs onto the market, and they were approved in February last year. We had the price for lercanidipine that went down by 57% in terms of reimbursement. And but the sales are in line with what it was last year. So this scenario is what we expected, and it is becoming somewhat the traditional scenario when you have a product turning into a generic product. Now, as let me tell you that we have some six, seven generics onto the market, and so the competition that we expect going forward is normal and not particularly aggressive. This means that we, if we maintain this level of prices, and if generics do not go down in prices too much, we can continue going on like this. In France, we have some stricter regulations as far as the prescription and use of generic products. We have generics in France. We have decreased our price by 15%, which was mandatory by law, and generics are growing their market share, and during the year they might reach up to 60% of the prescription of this compound. Also because by law, the chemist has to automatically replace a drug with generics. In other countries like UK and Spain, generics are present, but they're not as aggressive. And so, say, they are present, but they're not as strong as we expected. And in these countries, local independence is still growing. So as far as our expectations are concerned, we can say that competition is slightly better than we expected. So we are still in the first few months of the year. Second quarter and third quarter of the year will give us the possibility to understand under which competitive pressure we shall get from generics. As far as other products are concerned, let me tell you something about Zanipress. Zanipress sales doubled versus the last period, the same period last year, but it is normal because it is a growing product. Where in those countries where Zanipress has been launched, it is performing quite well. We have some delay for Italy because we're still waiting for the reimbursement of the product to be approved. Then you will see later on that we expect to have this product be reimbursed, or the reimbursement be authorized in country by the end of 2010, and from then on this product is going to grow. We have then acquired two products, one in 2009 and one in 2010, and in so doing we strengthened our portfolio, and we invested our cash flow to strengthen our portfolio. And from this point of view, we had good results. And the orphan drugs grew by 31.6% over the first quarter. Now, let me tell you that we also have the local portfolio, which good results, and we have products which are growing. So the local portfolio, which is related to the acquisitions that we have made, is not really growing that much, but revenues are well consolidated, and the margins are certainly good. So we should have to wait for the next few quarters to see the pressure on lercanidipine, what kind of pressure we should have on lercanidipine on our revenues. Let me move on to the P&L. Revenues are growing by 1.2%. The gross profit is positive. We expected to lose some profitability here, but as you can see, we have grown quarter on quarter, but versus the whole 2009, the gross profit went down by 1.5%. So gross profit is being eroded, but in a limited manner, which means that even though we might, even if we lose the lercanidipine revenues, well, we have some other profits which have good profitability, orphan drugs and local products as well. And then SG&A expenses, they are flat. Our goal was that of having SG&A around 35-36%, so we're in line. R&D expenses are growing. They stand at 8.3%. The other income is as a percentage of revenue is negative. The operating income is going up by 6% and net income by 8.5%. So it's a good starting point this quarter. I'm not saying you that we can multiply these results by 4, but it's a very good starting point. The net financial position, quite sound. We managed to generate quite a handsome cash flow. The net financial position is almost down to zero. In Q1 2010, we acquired a product for some European countries, especially for Greece, which has required an investment of 14 million euros. So within this net financial position, well, you needed to take into account that we had to make an investment in intangibles. So not only the company managed to achieve good profitability, but has been able to generate a cash flow, which is important in terms of acquiring products and acquiring also companies. So As we said from the beginning, we also managed to have a number of products approved, and this can help us set the basis for the future. Now we can see whether there are questions about. No, we shall have a Q&A session at the end because we also have people listening through the conference call, so we can continue with the presentation.
Business plan, Allora.
Okay, here we come to our business plan then. These are the bullet points: strategy, sales development, and the financial projections. First of all, I would like to say that we're not going to provide with details about our business plan because this is exactly what we did last year, and the basics of the business plan have not changed. So we just confirmed that the development strategy of Recordati implies growing through organic growth and therefore by developing the product portfolio. And as far as this point is concerned, we're going to focus on corporate products, which will account for the very basis of our growth and through the acquisition of new product rights. As you can see, our development will focus particularly on specialty products. Silodosin, for instance, is a more specialistic kind of product. Within the framework of organic growth, we also plan to enrich our pipeline of products in development, and indeed, our business plan confirms our investment on research and development for an amount equal to the amount that we have invested over the past few years. So we are not going to penalize our investment on R&D that will remain at 9-10% of our sales, as a percentage of our sales. So these are the very basis of our business plan. And besides this, considering that our company is still generating free cash flow and we go on doing so going forward, we have confirmed our determination to increase our geographical footprint. We confirm our decision to launch high-growing products in Central and Eastern Europe. And considering that we have a marketing organization in the most important European markets, we will be able to acquire new products in other European markets. This is something we can do now. In the past, we had the opportunity to acquire new products on a European basis, but it was not convenient for us to acquire such products which generated revenues in countries where we were not present yet. But now, considering that our geographical footprint is very widespread, so we can proceed with the acquisition of such products. And then, pending the registration of Carbaglu in the United States and within the framework of widening our geographical footprint, we plan to have a direct presence in the United States for the marketing of drugs for rare diseases. We are not interested in entering the traditional market of pharmaceuticals in the U.S., but for such a selected market, like the market for treatments for rare diseases, having already two drugs registered in the United States, we are considering entering this market as well. And clearly, we would like to enter such markets through small acquisitions, as is customary with us, because we know this is the best way to achieve the best results in the shortest time possible. So our business plan confirms our strategy, and this slide is exactly the very same strategy that we illustrated a year and a half ago. It's not just because we didn't want to change the slide, but it's just to confirm that our strategy has remained unchanged. As to sales development assumptions, well, first of all, in our business plan, we focus on organic growth, as we said. Our financial targets are not based on acquisitions, but are going to be achieved by growing organically. And here you see our main assumptions that have been updated. That is, the development of Lercanidipine franchise, considering the trend of the first quarter, the pressure on prices and the presence of generics on the various markets, we can expect a drop in the sales of lercanidipine between 2010 and 2012. And we expect to be able, however, to remain at a level that is better than we had factored in our business plan. There was 80, 90 million originally. So lercanidipine as generic should be able to remain relatively stable at a higher level than we had estimated. And this is the current situation, of course. So we expect lercanidipine to become stable after 2012. There are countries like China that may contribute substantially, whereas in countries where generics have entered the market, I mean, we cannot expect much. And so the market share of branded products will inevitably remain stable. As to Zanipress, that is our combo product, well, I can confirm that in those countries where the product has already been launched, the growth is in line with our expectation. This applies to the main markets where we are operating, Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, Greece, and we're expecting to launch it in other European countries where we are already present, like Turkey. We launched it also in Ireland. As far as Italy is concerned, the assumption for Italy was launching the combo at the beginning of 2011, after the reimbursement has been granted in the second half of 2010. In general, we'll be launching progressively Zanipress in all those countries where lercanidipine is already marketed. So we are planning to supplement lercanidipine and our portfolio, therefore, in those countries where generics are not present by launching Zanipress. In Germany, for instance, we have seen that by launching the combo drug, there's no cannibalization going on. There's no replacement, but there's just a supplementing of the traditional treatment with lercanidipine plain with Zanipress, that is a combination of lercanidipine and enalapril. In our business plan, we factored in a target of 70 million euro worth of sales in 2012. So all in all, we expect a drop in terms of the Zanidip and Zanipress sales that amounted in 2009 to 2,035 million euro, but we expect to reach a stable level at 160 million, which means that we are going to lose some value, but not the whole value of the lercanidipine franchise. So much for lercanidipine. Now we're going to update you about the two other main products. These are our new corporate products, Silodosin. So I'm going to refer to the brand name, which means that the launch of the product is going to occur in the next future. So we obtained the European marketing approval in January 2010. This is another important step confirming our business plan. We expect the main launches to take place between September 2010 through March 2011. And this will depend both on the granting of the reimbursement and on the opportunities that will arise on the domestic markets. So if the drug can be is granted the reimbursement end of November, we will be clearly waiting till next January to launch. But anyway, this is the time frame that will be considered for the launch of Silodosin. We have already reached the main license and co-marketing agreements in important countries with Nycomed in Italy, Admiral in Spain. We are negotiating other such contracts with other main partners. This is extremely important because this means increasing the share of voice of this product, making it an increasingly important product in the market to treat benign prostatic hypertrophy. We have a right for a wide market, that is all the European markets plus some more, so all in all 19 major European markets, and therefore the value of the BPH market amounts to approximately 1 billion euro, and we expect to achieve an in-market peak sales of 100 to 150 million euro. And the launch schedule is very similar to the schedule that had been factored in the previous business plan, because we have actually followed all the steps that we had forecast for the registration of Silodosin, and indeed we obtained approval early 2010 as expected. As to pitavastatin, we are going to have the approval of the brand Livazo by Q3 2010. So here, actually, we say Q3 2010, but it should be before that, it should be during summer. So this drug will be launched progressively in 2011, will be focusing on the right timing to launch the products. Consider that we have just launched Silodix. It is true, it's nice to have numerous products to launch, but it is also true that you have to allow for some time after the launch of a product before launching a new one, another one. We have already achieved important marketing agreements with Esteve in Spain, for instance, and we are planning to do the same in other main markets, looking for local partners to achieve co-marketing agreements with them. The market here is a wide market, roughly €3 billion worth is the value of a statin market in 2009. Again, we confirm our business plan targets. We plan to achieve in market peak sales around €100-150 million. Consider this is a highly competitive market. This is our initial target, and we want to be rather conservative, but then we may be able to increase this market share going forward. These are our main sales development assumptions. As to our financial projections, well, we expect our gross profit to decrease going forward, as already pointed out, but we expect to be able to achieve gross profit of 65-66%. As to SG&A expenses, the Salesforce restructuring effort has been completed. We started, especially in Italy and France, the restructuring of our Salesforce network, because these are the markets where the impact of generics of lercanidipine is greatly felt. We had maintained our presence in Great Britain on orphan drugs only, and we have closed, let's say, our network with GPs in the UK, and we believe that these are the right conditions to launch new products. The restructuring phase is over now. The pre-marketing phase has started for new products, which means that we are going to invest on promotional activity more substantially, because, as we said, there will be the two launches of Silodosin and Pitavastatin. So, considering that sales are going to grow and considering that we'll be gone focusing on cost savings, we expect our SG&A to remain at around 35-36%. As to R&D, we confirm our target of R&D expenses at around 10% of our sales. Then a lot will depend on the clinical trials and the other activities that we are carrying out. These are therefore our targets for 2010, 2011, and 2012. If you compare these targets with the previous business plan targets, you notice that in 2009 we exceeded our targets, which is already a good start. We had been more conservative in our targets at the end of 2008, so we exceeded all of them in 2009 already. So in 2010, the targets that we had announced early this year, there were 700 million in terms of revenue, 140 million in terms of operating income, and 95 in terms of net income. Considering the good trend and the good results of Q1 2010, we expected such targets to be exceeded. In other words, we expected to exceed 700 million in terms of revenue, and to exceed 140 million in terms of EBIT, and to exceed 95 million in terms of net income. And again, these targets are higher than the targets we announced in December 2008. As to our business plan 2011-2012, we expect the revenues range between 730 and 740 million for 2011. Here we are slightly lagging behind vis-a-vis our business plan, and this is due to the delay in the launch of pitavastatin and the combo in Italy. Nevertheless, we expect better operating income, and we estimated 145, 150 million for 2011. Let's not forget that 2011 is going to be an important year because there will be the two launches, which implies substantial investments on marketing and promotional activities. And net income for 2011, 100, 102 million. 2012 will be a year marked by substantial growth. Revenue will grow up to 780, 100 million, operating income to 155, 160, and net income to 110, 112. Please note that 2012 revenues will exceed 2009 figure, and the operating income will be very close to 2009. But let's not forget, 2009 was the best year ever for Recordati in terms of operating income. So Zanidip was a great year. 2009 was a great year thanks to the launch of Zanidip. But in 2012, we will be able to replace the role played by Zanidip in 2009 with a new product, which will go on generating growth going forward as well, or in the following years after 2012. Please remember that all these targets are based on the existing business, so no new acquisitions are included. And this is extremely important because the idea of growing through acquisitions, there was a key point of the strategy over the past few years is not a part of this business plan. I mean, in 2009, we didn't make any acquisition, and this because we didn't find the right opportunities that of course, must combine price and opportunity, of course. But clearly, going forward, we are planning to go on to go back growing through acquisitions. I believe that this is it as far as the presentation is concerned, and we can start the Q&A session.
Funziona bene.
La voce, parlo alto.
Ecco.
Un paio di domande. La prima su coerenza.
Provo.
We do apologize. I'm not using the microphone. Thank you. I have a couple of questions to ask. I work with Intermonte. The first question, how do we have to interpret the 2012 targets, comparing them with the 2011 targets? If I correctly understand, in 2011 you have already experimented, so to speak, the pressure by generics, and then in 2012 you will invest a lot in selling the two, say, blockbuster products. So the top line in 2012 should be generated by very profitable products, but we do not see a relevant increase in profitability in 2012. And then how much did you pay for the new products? You said you spent a significant amount, but can you be clear about how much you spent in Q1 2010? Now, you can see that over a period of 3 years, we shall go back to recovering our positions thanks to new products, whereas so far Canidipin was accounting for some 30% of our revenues, and we are going to recover in 3 years. When we speak of corporate product, we're speaking of proprietary products and products under license. those products that we achieve under license are associated to lower margins versus proprietary products. And of course, we can recover some sales, but the overall mix can be affected. Of course, when it comes to profitability, the drugs that we market under license do not have the same profitability that we had with lercanidipin. Volumes are increasing, and we expect to be able to recover revenues, and also we expect to recover on profitability. Maybe I was not very clear. Not only in 2011 we are going to make investments. The launch of pitavastatin will occur between 2011 and 2012, and therefore in 2012 we shall also have to make a promotional and advertising activity to sustain our revenues growth. We do apologize. The gentleman is not speaking into the microphone. Now, Zanipress and Zanidip overall should be able to provide you a stable situation. They should not go down. Well, yes, but in 2011 we might see still a decrease of lercanidipine associated revenues, but then going forward we said that we are going to recover. But please consider that in terms of pitavastatin, in order to make this product successful, we have to invest a lot of money for promotional activities, because this is a product which is to be marketing on a wider market and requires greater promotional investments. In Q1 2010, we paid 14 million to buy a product which is Loloprolol, which is a major product in certain markets like Greece. The name of the product was Metoprolol. And then for other materials, we spent 17.4 million euros in Q1 2010. So cash is still positive, but we have already paid a lot of money for intangibles. Good morning. I have a question about the new products. Can you give us something about the combo product? In the previous business market, we had now, how do the two products, Zanipress and Zanitech, will be able to generate? And then as far as cash, which you didn't say at the beginning, can you give us some indication about your cash? And you said that we do not have to multiply Q1 results by four, but things are going quite better than you expected. So can you try and tell me something about it as well? Well, the first question was about the peak sales of Zanipress. Well, we gave you an indication for the year 2012, but, you know, it's just an indication. And then, since we expected some questions about the previous business plan, we made our homework. As far as Silodazin, well, we are in line with what we expect in terms of timing. As far as pitavastatin was concerned, we had a delay in the registration of the drug. As far as pitavastatin is concerned, we shall have a say of 1 year. What we expected to occur in 2011 will occur in 2012, and so on. Overall, the two products in 2012 can make up some 10% of the revenues of our group. As far as cash is concerned, well, in our business plan, we include investments for tangible assets and intangibles. Tangible asset investments are very limited, 7, 8 million euros, whereas investments for intangible assets, they are around 20 million euros a year. This is not money which is used for acquisition purposes, but it's money invested to strengthen our products. And they are already included among our investments, but they can become a sales opportunity in our business plan period. Well, let me tell you that we are going through a period of big change. Let's take Greece. Greece revenues is not that relevant for us, but a few months ago we would never expect to see what is happening in Greece. Now, we have quite a well-established position on Western markets. But let's take, for instance, Turkey. Last year in Turkey, we had major changes from the regulatory point of view. Mandatory discounts have increased from 11 to 24%. Products or prices will go down as soon as they become generic. The price of the generic product, when it becomes generic, the price goes down to 6% what it was before. So these are major changes that can have an impact. And so it is difficult to tell you what will happen going forward. In Italy, for instance, over the past 2-3 years, we haven't had the introduction of any restrictive measures, say a price decrease or the change in the drugs reimbursed. But you know that in Italy, the pharmaceutical expense approved by the authorities is being curtailed. We sell our products to wholesalers and to chemists, and that kind of expense is kept under control by the authorities, whereas the pharmaceutical expense within hospitals is not under control. It is 1.8 billion euros. It was in it went up by 1.8 billion euros in 2009. So if you exceed the hospital or internal hospital pharmaceutical expense is exceeded by the hospital, then the regional authorities have to pay the difference. Whereas if you exceed the pharmaceutical expenses in general for a product sold through chemists, it is the company that has to pay back the difference. So it is I'm telling you this to tell you that it is difficult to plan exactly what we are going to do. But at least we should have to wait for the next few months, half of the year, to have a clear indication of what is going on this year. Good evening, Massimo Medioveccio, Mediobanca. I have a question about the reimbursement of Zanipress in Italy. What kind of information can you tell it? Can you tell us about it? What is the attitude of the agency? I don't think they have a negative opinion about your drug, but they might have a negative attitude towards the whole treatment class. Well, Italy is the only country in Western Europe where there has been some prejudice against anti-hypertension drugs, not necessarily against our products. There has been always a prejudice, especially against combination treatments. and I said not only against our products, but also against Novartis products, for instance. Recently, there has been a change in this type of attitude, because this was a negative attitude on the part of the scientific community. Now the scientific community is changing its attitude, and this could give way to the approval of the reimbursement of combination products in Italy. And we have some 10 products that are waiting. So this might mean that the legislative work to obtain the reimbursement authorization can actually be speeded up. And for this reason, we have included the combination drug to be launched in 2011. Well, then it's a matter of price. You need to set the price right. I guess that they will try to impose upon us a very low price. But, as I said, the fact that there is no prejudice on the part of the scientific community against combination treatments, well, it's positive. As a matter of fact, we are an Italian company and we operate strongly on the Italian market. And so this is a good news. Can I ask you a question about the Chinese market? I do not know the Chinese market that well, but I'd like to understand what kind of regulatory environment there is in that country. Is the government, for instance, increasing its health expenditure to cover, say, a greater portion of the population? Well, I can tell you the following. In China, health insurance is being gradually extended to a greater number of people, although there is still a clear-cut difference between urban China and rural China. In China, we are witnessing the advent of a pharmaceutical market, which is very similar to Western market, made up of local companies like Visfarm, which is listed at the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. And these local companies are growing through or following plans which are very similar to those of Western companies. Now, Lis Pharma, which is a Hong Kong listed company, is operating in China, is growing significantly, and showed an interest in our product. Sylvanus was selling lercanidipine in China, but we had reached the end of our agreement, and so we identified Lis Pharma to continue selling lercanidipine, and they started running a promotion in April this year. Do you have goals in terms of technology transfer, or is that only a marketing agreement? Well, it is a license agreement. A typical license agreement. Well, usually speaking, in developing countries, we reach agreement with some clauses whereby after a few years, there is the possibility for the local company to buy our product. So these are details, but in China we resorted to this clause. That is, we included in the agreement a clause whereby the local company can buy the product under a specific payment. And this is an interesting formula for us that we use especially in emerging markets because it allows us to mitigate the risk. Is this an experience that you want to replicate with other products? Well, we have already done it when we had to renew our licenses. For instance, in Poland, we have wanted to get into the market for some time. A license was expiring. Had we had a branch there, we would have bought it, but we couldn't, and so we continued to sell the product with the local company, paying well so as to be able to have the company continue to sell the product.
Buonasera, sono
Good evening, Maurizio Moretti, UniCredit. I got a number of questions. First question about Germany. I believe the German Parliament is discussing a proposal whereby pharmaceutical products, in particular generics, can be purchased through tenders or actually through auctions. I would like to know whether this could have an impact on the price of Zanipress in Germany. Well, as far as we know, they are discussing a new piece of legislation. But the fact that in Germany auctions are held to acquire generics is something that is very common, I mean, a custom of the German market, though it is perhaps not regulated strictly. The Krankenkassen, which are actually the bodies that provide health care at national level, no longer buy from all suppliers of generics, but they organize and hold auctions, and they identify one single supplier who provide all the generics at a lower price. I know that some prices are being revisited now. I know, for instance, that the contribution to the Krankenkassen for products that are no longer patented is going to be increased. It's a very complex mechanism, which I'm not going to dwell on, but in our business plan, we have factored in all this. As to Lurka Nidipin in Germany, I can tell you that after the introduction of the so-called reference classes, which also in the past already included generics of our competitors, particularly non-Nidipin, the price level is so low that generic suppliers are no interested in stepping in. And now we have in Germany two generic suppliers which have prices that is very similar to our prices. So selling Lurka Nidipin in Germany at the reference price wouldn't be convenient, not even for the generic suppliers. So in Germany, it is true, there are changes ongoing, but then before talking about the Krankenkassen, we should refer to the reference price. We were very much penalized with the reference price of Lurka Nidipin. Now this is not what we are experiencing with a combined drug, because the combined drugs can be sold at a much higher price. And the reference price is such that it didn't penalize it. What really penalized us in the past was the reference price of Lurka Nidipin in Germany, because actually we had to adopt the same price level of Bayer, and this is something that penalized us very much. As to the acquisitions, I know this is going to sound rhetorical, and we ask these questions at every single presentation, but I got the impression that considering your cash generation, at the end of the year, your debt will be roughly 60, 70 million positive. So I would like to know whether time has come for you to do something, to take steps. And if you're not planning to do anything, is it just due to the fact there are no attractive opportunities on the market at the moment, or is it because you prefer focusing on a Lurka Nidipin replacement or transformation into generics and such processes? Well, I must tell you that opportunities on the market are scant. But as I've already pointed out, the market is changing. I mentioned Turkey as an example. Until recently, we were doing very well in Turkey. We acquired the Yeni in Turkey. We wanted to grow further, but there were no opportunities there. Thanks to the new measures they adopted last September, new opportunities are now emerging in Turkey.
discount has been increased from 11% to 24%. Prices are reduced by 20%. So this means that this has inevitably impact on the EBIT of companies there. Last year, when the person who sold us the company was asked whether he was happy of selling his company, well, in September he was not sure. Now he's absolutely sure he did a great deal. So the market is changing, and the market is changing everywhere. Also in Russia, for instance, where the market was regulated, now new pieces of legislation are being adopted to regulate the pharmaceutical prices. So it is true that opportunities are rarer now. We are certainly happy of our very positive net financial position. We are definitely satisfied with our business plan, but should we be able to make acquisitions to supplement our organic growth, then we'll be even happier. And we know that our net financial position allows us to do so. We are exploring opportunities, but as you know, acquisitions can be made in 3 months or in 10 years. In Poland, for instance, we've been there for 10 years. We haven't managed to acquire a company in a decade in Poland, for instance. Good evening, Paolo Silvietti, Akros Bank. I want to know more details about Orphan Europe, in other words, orphan drugs in Europe. I think you said that you experienced a substantial growth as far as orphan drugs are concerned in Q1. And so I would like to know whether you confirm your revenues targets for 2010 and 11, which were 56 and 62 million respectively according to the previous business plan. So are you confirming this growth, CAGR, of 10%, or do you expect it to be slightly higher? And then, following the approval of Carbaglu in the United States, I got the impression that your idea of entering directly the U.S. market is becoming more and more concrete. So I would like to know what kind of expectations do you have about these products? And then I know you are pending for the approval of another product in early 2011. Has anything changed? Well, Stanate, that was a drug pending approval. Well, Stanate is a phase two drug, and it's far from being marketed. Maybe you misperceived what is happening. First of all, about Orphan Europe, the company. Orphan Europe performed very well in Q1 2010. This is something we always say, though. A single quarter is not that meaningful and therefore cannot be used to multiply the figure by four. It is true that Orphan Europe portfolio is growing and growing very well, but we do not expect the growth experienced in Q1 2010 to be duplicated in the rest of the year. So the growth target we announced, 10%, is therefore confirmed. What about the next few years? We were rather conservative in our business plan. With Orphan Europe, we acquired both proprietary products, but also licensed products. As to licensed products, some of them, consider that market conditions have changed or the terms and conditions of the agreements have changed. In our business plan, we decided to be conservative once again, and we decided not to include the marketing of such drugs. And therefore, in our business plan, we considered the business of Orphan Europe as flat, not growing, which doesn't mean that the Orphan business is not doing very well. But consider that we do not know what the future of a number of products will be. We cannot disclose anything more because we have, of course, confidentiality clause. Anyway, our forecast do not expect any substantial growth, but we do expect an improvement in terms of product mix. Often Europe had a business line that was less profitable than the proprietary product, which had therefore an impact on their profits. The growth of carbon glue-like products, however, should enable us to offset the drop in sales of the other products. So much for Orphan Europe's portfolio. As to our strategy in the United States, Carbaglue was approved of in March 2010, and we were very surprised, I must say, because we actually expected to receive the approvable letter in March 2010, and then the official approval a few months later, whereas we had the official approval in March already. So our goal now is that of making the product available in the United States as soon as possible, considering that it's a life-saving product. The FDA proceeded very rapidly after receiving all the necessary information. So I believe the need for such drugs is deeply felt in the United States, and that's why we are working hard to be able to distribute this product directly through Orphan Europe France in the United States as soon as possible to help and assist those patients who need such drugs to survive. In the mid-long term, we are still considering the type of strategy we want to implement. Clearly, we have a number of opportunities there. We have a product portfolio that do not require substantial promotional activity. Those are all highly profitable products. This is why we want to sell them directly there, but we haven't made any final decisions about it. We don't know whether we want to start directly or whether we prefer to start through partners, and then as soon as portfolio has grown and has become stabler, we can start selling directly, or we can make a small acquisition, as is customary with us, and then exploit our product portfolio there at best. You didn't show us a slide about your pipeline evolution. However, you mentioned R&D investment amounting 10% of our revenues, which is a substantially high figure, even though you expect revenues to drop. Consider that your most important projects have been completed. What do you expect for new products? Are you investing mainly on new products in the pipeline, or is there anything new in the pipeline that may absorb your R&D investment? Well, I can tell you that R&D investment are clearly broken down into investment on research and on development, as R&D clearly says. We have limited our investment on research, and we prefer to privilege the development of new products. And here again, we plan to develop proprietary products, for instance, a new combination with lercanidipine, and at the same time, we plan to develop licensed products as well. The idea of developing licensed products in Europe and for European markets is still a good strategy. This is exactly what we did with Silodosin and Pitavastatin, where we licensed the products from Japanese companies. We're doing the same with other products. We are exploring other opportunities. We know that most, or let's say 80% of the pharmaceutical innovation or the innovation in the pharmaceutical area comes from the United States, and that's why we are focusing very much on the United States. But anyway, we are planning to develop licensed products as well. And we try and be very accurate in our estimates. Clearly, if we consider all the opportunities we are faced with, we should increase our R&D investment substantially. I don't know whether you read about a company, I don't know whether it's a Swiss company that is actually developing a very promising drug, but which has turned out to be very disappointing in terms of results. So we prefer to be cautious, we prefer to focus on a number of the products, and that's why we are investing as I've just described.
Then I think you asked another question. No, that was the only question you asked. Okay. Okay. If there are no more questions, so if there are no more questions, we can take the questions from the conference call. Are there any questions from the conference call?
Well, apparently there are no questions from the conference room. So if there are no other questions in the room here, we can conclude. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hmm?